And welcome to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout. Today is Thursday, April 16th. We have a great show lined up for you today. Brenda Wright from the Audubon Society will be here to showcase their upcoming cruises. We'll get a preview of the upcoming Poetry Slam. We'll talk with Ok Bay Cooperative Preschool about their open house. Ed Littlefield and Christian Fabian will be here with a preview of tonight's Native Jazz Concert. And Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, and more here on a Juno Afternoon. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A new study polling an indigenous group in Chile reveals that the redistribution of native lands is not the top priority when it comes to improving quality of life. Reporter Elizabeth Troval has more.
Mapuche in Chile's southern Araucanía region chose employment, education, and professional development as the top three most effective methods of improving quality of life. In the study, funded by Mapuche think tank Fundación Aitue, the redistribution of native lands came in fourth, chosen by 15% of respondents. The foundation's director, Carlos Yancaqueo Mellado, says the findings reveal a disparity between the needs of rural Mapuche and what the Chilean government actually spends money on in aid and reparation.
Los recursos a veces...
The resources are at times not well focused because there isn't a central entity, right, that directs indigenous policies.
Mellado says 60 to 70% of the budget of the government's indigenous agency, CONADI, is spent buying land to be given back to Mapuche people, while the amount spent on professional trainings and education is much smaller.
La compra de tierras tiene que ir aparejada con...
The purchasing of lands has to be paired with education, the preparation of the people who will be given the land, because if it's not, it produces a problem, which is that people many times leave these lands abandoned.
The study also reveals that 81% of the Araucanía region is in favor of the Mapuche language Mapudungun joining Spanish as an official language of the region. For National Native News, I'm Elizabeth Troval.
The Kanaitse Indian tribe recently held a candlelight vigil to raise awareness about sexual assault on Alaska's Kenai Peninsula. KBBI's Shady Grove Oliver has more.
Members of the Kanaitse, health and social service professionals, and community members joined together at the Chotkas Elder Center to talk about an issue that's often kept in silence. Alexandra, or Sasha Lindgren, is a Kanaitse elder.
Sharing my story, I hope we'll give someone the strength to come forward and say, I need help, and that together each of us, just by sharing our stories, will break cycles of abuse and violence.
Traditionally, at least the way that I grew up out in Bethel, it's not always talked about. But I think when the elders are able to talk about it, then maybe the younger people are more welcome to talk about it and be able to be aware that, you know, violence is not okay.
Lindsay Anasagak works for Naini Social Services in the tribe and coordinated this event.
It happens more frequently than people think.
According to a 2013 survey conducted by the University of Alaska Anchorage Justice Center in partnership with the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, out of every 100 adult women on the peninsula, 43 have experienced intimate partner violence, 30 have experienced sexual violence, and 52, more than half, have experienced one or the other or both. For Alaska as a whole, about 60 out of every 100 women have experienced some type of domestic or sexual violence.
We can overcome this. There is always an opportunity to make your life better, your community better, your tribe better. And so bad does not always have to stay in charge.
I'm Shady Grove Oliver in Kenai.
A bill to ban schools from using Indian mascots passed the Colorado House Wednesday, the Associated Press reports. Under the legislation, schools would need to get permission from tribes to keep their mascots. Supporters say it's an effort to protect children from their negative effects, while opponents say it's costly for schools to make change. The bill now heads to the Senate. The National Park Service announced Wednesday 8 Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act awards. The grants will assist in repatriation efforts. Tribes and colleges in Alaska, California, Michigan, Oklahoma, and Virginia will receive the funds, which total more than $74,000. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Viva la música de México! Tuba, French horn, trombone, and trumpet. Don't miss this rousing Latin American fiesta of musical bravura at JDHS Sunday, April 19th at 7 p.m. Matales M5 Mexican Brass. Did I say fiesta? Gran fiesta! Sunday, the 19th at 7 p.m. Tickets at the Jack, Hearthside Books, Rainy Retreat, or online at jahc.org. Support for this station comes from Alaska Canopy Tours, offering canopy and zipline tours. More information at alaskacanopy.com.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout, and today is Thursday, April 16th. Joining me in the studio today is Brenda Wright from the Juno Audubon Society, a board member there. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for letting me have some time today.
Of course. So for people who don't know what the Audubon Society is, could you, because it's an international organization, I was wondering if you could fill us in.
Yeah, it's named after James Audubon, John James Audubon, and so it's always been focused on birds, but it's really expanded into just ecological concern. Everything that's out there that's alive, that moves, we're concerned about them having space with people.
And so here in Juneau, the Audubon Society does all sorts of events. What kind of things do you all do in our community?
Yeah, this is a great time of year. We've just started our free bird walks every Saturday morning. You can look at our schedule online at the Juneau Audubon webpage. But this Saturday is going to be at Auk Rec with Mark Schwann being the leader. He's one of the most excellent birders in Juneau. They mostly start about 8 a.m., and the schedule is different each week. There's a, go to see shorebirds or go to see land birds, and this is migratory time, so you just never know what might have shown up in town since last week.
And so the people that everybody's welcome to join on these bird walks.
Yes, all ages. We have free binoculars for beginners. We encourage beginners to come. We have lots of experts with scopes. They'll help let you look through the scope and see feather detail that you can't see with your eyes or with the binoculars, and they're all friendly and willing to help you learn.
So it seems like Juneau, being one of the most beautiful places in the world, has a lot of great birds. Is that true?
It is true. And we're lucky enough here, right here in our city and borough of Juneau, to have two important bird areas. Those are places designated by National Audubon because of a special way that the birds use them. So like the Mendenhall Wetlands is an important bird area because tens of thousands of shorebirds pass through here in the estuary and enjoy our food that's supplied there in the wetlands. And our other important bird area here in the Juneau area is Berners Bay. And it's like this totally fortuitous natural event that happens every year. There's a hooligan run that goes up the rivers in Berners Bay, and it attracts sea lions, whales, harbor seals, and thousands of birds. And the reason that it's an important bird area is that two of those species, the surf scoters and also the Thayer's gulls, this is the largest congregation of anywhere on the West Coast for these birds to stuff themselves silly with nice oily fish before they go into the interior to have their nests.
Wow, and part of the Juneau Audubon Society, it's a nonprofit organization, and part of the way to, make back some money to provide all these services is through some cruises. They go through Berners Bay, correct?
Right, that's correct. And the reason that we choose this time of year is because this is the best time to go. The whales are returning. The gulls will be there. Some years we are so lucky that the herring spawn right before the hooligan, and then it's like a circus out there. It's crazy. But this is one of our two fundraisers for the entire year. We try to keep our prices reasonable, but it does help us view everything else that we offer is free.
That's amazing. So when are these boat cruises?
The first one is April 25th, and it's at 8:30 in the morning. You leave from the harbor below DeHart, Stater Harbor. And the second one is on May 2nd, and there's two cruises that day, 8:30 and 1:30.
And what are these cruises like? You head out to Berners Bay. Are there naturalists on board? And
oh, yeah. We actually, some of the volunteers on Audubon are, this is the one thing everybody wants to volunteer for. It's so much fun. We take island marine boats, and so and it is a four-hour cruise. It's not one of those short cruises. But they, you know, island marine boats are very comfortable. There's warm inside places. There's restrooms. They do offer us free drinks, and you're welcome to bring any food you like to have your own picnic.
Sounds great. And so you mentioned, what are some of the birds that you expect to see on these cruises?
Well, we might see some congregation of loons. They also come around this time of year when the hooligan are running and the herring spawn is here. But we're for sure going to see scoters, maybe as many as 10,000,
wow.
Maybe as many as 50,000 gulls. We just don't know. I know for sure there's two whales back already. So hopefully there'll be more in the next week or two, but there'll be sea lions. Wherever there's hooligan, there'll be sea lions.
And what other kind of things does the Juneau Audubon Society put on in our community?
Well, besides our hikes that go in the springtime from April through mid-June, we also do Saturday Wild in the summertime, where we get a special rate to go up the tram, and we do an alpine flowers and animals in June. And in July, because to make sure there's no snow. June, we take a low tide walk. August, we do berries. And in September, mushrooms. And then we start our public meetings again in October, where we give free slideshows.
And so anybody can become a member. Is it something that you have to register for, or how do people get involved?
Yeah, you can actually become a local member if you like, just to get the newsletter and find out about all the events. It's quite reasonable, only $10 a year. Or anyone who joins the National Audubon is automatically a member of the local chapter.
And so how does the National Audubon, how do you all work with, how does the Juneau chapter work with the National Audubon?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a whole office devoted to chapter services, and that those folks help coordinate us. They give us all kinds of wonderful information about education and outreach and endangered species, all kinds of national and international things that are affecting birds and other animals. And you can get the email updates from special alerts, or you can just get information from them called action alerts, and they just tell you about what's happening. You can look at cameras of baby herons and eagles and even sometimes pelicans. You never can tell what they might have out there in the baby cams.
That's great. So these are fundraisers, these boat cruises,
mm-hmm.
And what are they raising the funds for?
Well, they help us to pay for our newsletter that we send out, the paper one, and they also pay for a little bit of admin costs. But we don't really make very much on these cruises. The money is pretty much just a little bit over what there is, so that'll help us pay for the newsletter and rentals for where we have our other events.
And if people wanted to, say, buy a ticket for these cruises, because I have tried in years past, and I was too late, where can they get tickets?
Yep, they're available at both Hearthside locations, and there is a number that's available there. So if they happen to, if you don't get one before the Friday before, you can always call that number and see if there's still tickets available on the day.
Great. And then if people want more information about how to get involved on one of these Saturday bird walks, where can they go? Is there a website?
You know, we do have a Juneau Audubon Society webpage, and it has all the bird walks. It has finding birds in Juneau. It has places. It has a great little couple paragraphs of if you have friends visiting or relatives that are interested in birds, the best places in Juneau to take them to see birds.
So not just a, you know, go walk yourself, but also tons of resources online as well.
Yes, yes. And there's a one thing that I always have to mention. National Audubon has produced a free bird app that you can put on your phone, either iPhone or Android. It's totally free. And the best thing out of it, it's really fun with kids because all you have to know is the shape of the bird, a couple colors, and your address. And out of the 700 birds in North America, with those few hints, they'll give you all the birds that are most likely to be there. And then they have songs.
It's like a Shazam for the bird world.
And, you know, even a child can look over and say, well, that's not an eagle. It's like a little tiny sparrow. Well, sure. And it's red. Okay. That's all you need.
That's great. Brenda Wright from the Juneau Audubon Society, thank you so much for coming to talk to us about all the upcoming happenings that are going on in this summer and the upcoming cruises. And could you give us the website one more time so people can get to it?
Yes, it's the JuneauAudubonSociety.org.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that's They Might Be Giants with Birdhouse in Your Soul. Thank you for tuning in to Juneau Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout, and here in the studio with me, I have Bill Merck and Katie Bosler here to talk about the upcoming Sound and Motion series, the Wushkinadei Poetry Slam. Welcome
well
to the studio.
Done.
Hey,
well
thanks.
Done.
I've been practicing.
Yeah, you got that right. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Good to see you, Shona.
Nice to see you as well. So, first of all, let's talk a little bit about what the University of Alaska Southeast Sound and Motion series is for people who don't know.
This is an arts and culture series that has been going now for at least 5 years. You know, you start to lose track after a while. But we try to focus on music, storytelling. For example, the final Sound and Motion a week from Friday is the title Echoes Launch, our literary and arts journal. And something that's been really fortunate is we've been able to build in some regular now annual events as part of Sound and Motion. And one of them is the Wushkinadei Poetry Slam, which I think we're going on our third year now.
That's correct, yeah.
Which we're really, it's really nice for, I think, for both entities because, you know, we can kind of count on each other, like we're going to have this poetry slam here. And it's really a nice way to bring the slam, which travels all over the community, mm-hmm. out to the university once a year. Or twice a year, even.
Yeah, and Bill, can you talk to us a little bit about the Poetry Slam, kind of the format of it, who's invited, how it works?
Sure. Well, it's anyone in town is invited, all ages, all abilities. We're very open, very supportive community. The event typically is the third Friday of every month. We get together at various venues, like Katie was saying, sometimes in town, sometimes in the valley. Haven't done one in Douglas yet. We need to put that on our calendar.
Douglas.
I know, right?
I know
yeah.
from a little person that they, that we're trying to get one at Perseverance, but it's hard to schedule.
and that's what we would like to do at some point. It would
be
great. You know, I think the library is a little too small to do it over there, but Perseverance would be great.
Yeah.
So anyway, the slam or the event has two parts. There's a non-competitive section in the beginning, where the first 8 people who sign up can participate on the open mic. And that's, you can do anything you want. You can juggle, you can knit a sweater, you can do poetry, you can do jokes. We've had people come in and do dance routines and sing-alongs and whatever you want to do. 5 minutes, it's your time. Make the most of it. Then we take a little break. We come back. We have the competitive portion. And we'll have hopefully 8 folks come up. Typically it's 8. 8 is the maximum. And they are... They bring their own work. They can't use music. There's no accompaniment. They have 3 minutes to present their own original work. 8 poets. We go through all 8. We have judges. We reduce the field down to 4. the poets come up and do another set, the four poets, then we do another cut. In the end, it's two poets, the last two poets with high scores, 3 minutes apiece, and then the winner gets, you know, fame and infamy and $25. So.
And $25,
right.
Really.
Yeah.
You know, the first time I heard of competitive poetry, and I air quote competitive because it's really the most loving room in the world.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the first time was in 1998. I saw my first poetry slam. And Katie, I was just wondering, what was your introduction to the poetry slam and how you got involved in this?
My introduction to the poetry slam was actually going to a poetry slam here in Juneau, one of the Wooshke poetry slams. And I'm trying to remember which one it was, but it had to be at least 3 years ago, or maybe even 4 years ago. I think, yeah, this thing's been going on now for 5 years.
Yeah, since 2010.
Yeah, and perhaps it was at the university, as a matter of fact. Maybe that's it. It came to me.
Got lucky. Huh?
It's a great venue.
Yes. Yes.
So it's tomorrow night, is that
right.
correct?
Yeah.
And what time and where do people go?
Well, people go to the Eden Lecture Hall, and they want to sign up at 6:30. The slam starts at 7. Now, that's definitely, we want to take note of that for listeners who are familiar with the slam, because usually the sign-up is at 6.
Correct.
And it starts
correct.
At 6:30. But because the Sound and Motion events always start at 7 o'clock, we're having the sign up at 6:30, starts at 7. And also, I just wanted to clarify that the poets can read their poems. It's not like mud
That's
rooms
correct.
Where you have
That's
to
correct.
Or you're supposed to memorize it. Some people do memorize them.
Some do. Some do.
And yeah.
It's, you know, if you want to do that, absolutely go for it. So.
Yeah. And so they can sign up right there, and that's kind of the best way to do it. And then also, can yep. you talk a little bit about the judging? Because it's also a very unique way of, and I air quote again, judging poetry.
Well, it's arbitrary. Every time that we go into the events, we pick judges out of the audience. We'll select five groups or five teams or five people who want to judge. We'll give you the scorecards. Basically, all you need to do is be a good listener and be consistent. That's all we ask.
It's not like being an Olympic skating judge.
No.
It's a little less pressure.
It hasn't been.
But you have to be as present as
you do.
You know.
We want you to be there and to appreciate and celebrate the work. And if you don't like something, absolutely give it the score that you feel is appropriate. I will tell you, though, if you're going to be a judge, that those people in the audience who are not judges are actually going to help you with your judging. If you put up a 5 and they think it's an 8, then you're probably going to hear about it in a very nice, gentle way.
Or loud.
We select 5 people or teams to judge. Katie and I will be doing that between the open mic and the competitive portion. It's fun. It's really a fun time. You've been to the events too.
They're just a blast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a creative, it's a loving room, and it's just a really good time. It's a great evening of entertainment.
And there's always at least one poem or more than one that's going to blow you away. That's been my experience. I'm just kind of like jaw drop. That's amazing.
And there's a large number of UAS students that actually participate in Wooshke in general, I've noticed.
Yeah, you know, I would venture to say that it's actually, I think, helped the English careers of some of the English majors at UAS. You know, it's that old pressure, like, oh my gosh, the slam's going to be up. I got to write a poem. And then that might end up as part of their senior project. And we've had some real stellar poets, writers come out of the UAS English program who've been very involved in Wooshke.
Absolutely, yeah. Jackie Boucher comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan Block,
mm-hmm.
another one. You know, some real
Guy
strong
Unziker.
Competitive voice. Oh, Guy, absolutely. Yeah, real strong voices.
Speaking of strong voices in the English department at UAS, the next Sound and Motion series is actually also, I mean, as far as Sound and Motion series go, it's kind of my two favorite coming back to back. I was mm-hmm. wondering if you could talk a little bit about what's
Tidal
up
Echoes.
Next. Yeah.
Yeah, Tidal Echoes. You'll hear more about it from Rebecca Salisman, our student editor, next week here on Juneau Afternoon. But this is Friday night, the 24th, 7 o'clock. This is the annual launch of the journal. This has been going for, we're probably going on 15 years at least with Tidal Echoes. It's much more than that. But anyway, the featured writer for that will be Ishmael Hope. The featured artist, you can find her name on our website. It's not coming to me right now. But that is always a time when people who are featured in the journal will read some of their work. Of course, our featured writer and artist also do a presentation. And it's just a really lovely event. And you can also buy the journal for $5. And I this is probably the most well done as far as layout and quality of editing journal yet. And I know that because our office put it together, and I didn't have much to do with it. It was our graphic artist, Allison Krein, did a fantastic job.
Yeah, she's got major skills.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also, but just on the Poetry Slam, we do have a theme.
We do.
Which is old growth.
Make of that what you will.
What do you think of?
I can go a lot of different ways. I was making a lot of bad puns when I was on with Ms. G earlier this week. roots, looking back at where you started, where you were, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and now you're older. You've got, a few more calluses on and a little more experience, and so where do you take that, you could go out on a limb. There's a bad pun, I know, right? Nice thing about going back to the Tidal Echoes release, you're also going to find a lot of local poets who compete at the slams on a monthly basis who also appear in there. I know we try and push people, and the editors are usually coming to the events before the deadline and promoting it. We're real good about getting people's interest up and keeping that going. So you'll see a lot of the people who are going to appear in that book next Friday, tomorrow night.
That sounds great. It sounds like a really good time. Bill, what else happens over the summer for the Wish Case Slam? Does it go all through?
Yeah, every month. Every month we're
out
there.
It's relentless.
We think we have it figured out after 5 years. We've got a real strong board, and we've worked with a multitude of venues, and so the venues are always so supportive. This venue, like Katie and I were saying, this one is one of our favorites. Absolutely, the way it's set up, the acoustics of the room, the lighting, it's just perfect. We do have a couple of events that they're all special, but we have two fundraising events that we also put together during the year. One in October, and one that's coming up next month in May. It's a fundraiser, it's a dinner, it's music, it's a select number of poets. It's not competitive, but we bring five or six folks in, we bring live music, we put together a five-course meal with a restaurant. We charge, it's charged seating, it's not a pay-as-you-can kind of event. So we'll have more about that probably as we get into May. We're just starting to pull the particulars together, but that's a real exciting thing too. I think Katie was at the one last year. And
that was beautiful.
It was just beautiful.
In every way.
It was fun. We were at the Rookery last year. It's going to be at Rockwell this year.
Oh, great! Is there a Facebook page or somewhere people can go say, "Hey, what are all the Wish K events happening?"
If you were to go to Facebook and just Google Woosh, WOOSH, we pop up. You can also send an email to JunoPoetrySlam@gmail.com. That's what it is. So,
yeah.
And you can go right to Christy that way.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
And, Katie, there's all sorts of things. It's coming up towards the end of the semester at UAS, moving into finals week, just in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe even less. And so there's all sorts of things. The Sneeze performance is happening tomorrow night as well. But, if you want to hit Wish K2, you can hit that on Saturday or Sunday.
That'll be my weekend.
Yeah. So there's plenty of stuff to do out there. But it's also that magic time.
Yes, that magic time. Thank you for remembering. To register for your fall classes, believe it or not, fall 2015. So on Monday, the 20th of April, open registration for everyone. Right now, if you are already a program student at UAS, you can register. So you just want to go online, and we have a big blue box with green letters on the bottom right-hand corner. It says register now, and you click below that, and you get to the schedule, and you look up your classes, and you can sign up. So please do. You don't want to miss out.
No, you don't. Tis the season. Bill and Katie, thank you so much. As I understand it, you are also the hosts, MC of tomorrow night's Poetry Slam.
Yes, we are.
We'll be enabling all the poets tomorrow night, absolutely.
Excellent.
That's what it's all about.
We'll have a great time at the Sound in Motion lecture series that is actually the Wushki Nadei Poetry Slam tomorrow night. It begins at 7 p.m. Sign-ups for open mic, and the slam begin at 6:30 out at the Egan Lecture Hall. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Shona.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 16th of April, 2015. It's the birthday of Gertrude Chandler Warner, born in Putnam, Connecticut, 1890, the creator of the Boxcar Children series, of books for children. She taught first grade for over 30 years, and one day, when she stayed homesick, she thought up the story of the Boxcar Children. Her family, when she was a child, lived near the railroad tracks, and she'd often go out and watch the trains go by, sometimes get a glimpse into the window of the caboose, and sometimes see a little stove and table and a coffee pot on the stove, which fascinated her, the idea that someone was living in the caboose. And she invented the story about four orphaned children, Henry, Jesse, Violet, and Benny, ranging in age from 6 to 14, who, after their parents die, go to live with their grandfather, who the children feel is a cruel man, and so they run away and they set up housekeeping in an abandoned boxcar, supporting themselves and living a life of great independence. Gertrude Chandler Warner said that the story at first raised a storm of protest from librarians who thought the children were having much too good a time without any parental control. And Warner said that is exactly why children liked the story. She wrote the original 19 Boxcar Children stories. In the years since, more than 100 titles have been added, written by others. It's the birthday of the novelist Anatole France, born Paris, 1844, author of Penguin Island, who said, "The books that everybody admires are those that nobody reads." And it's the birthday of Carol Bly, born in Duluth, Minnesota, 1930, author of The Tomcat's Wife and other stories, and Changing the Bully Who Rules the World. Here's a poem for today by Peter Schmidt, entitled Just Married. Oh, they can be forgiven such innocent indulgence, the couple whose car we saw in the darkened parking garage today, the white spray paint filling the rear window, just married, and the date, now more than 2 weeks old. Let them enjoy this extended moment as long as they can. Let them feel this way always. For their lives, all history could have begun on that day, regardless that the buoyant numerals and letters, like the asking price of a car, would appear insensibly reversed if, driving, they glanced back. The message looms between them and the world, which will always be trying to gain on them. And if, in noon glare, their first full wedded day, they cut with a room service knife the strings to the cans clinking like obligations, they will not let go yet this brief announcement. Oh, the elements might eventually combine to erase them, enough downpours or the blistering sun, but by the time the words no longer quite ring true, it will be their own hands that make them vanish. Then let it end happily, in a bright lather of suds, gentle hiss of the hose and the radio, the two together, hands crossing the glass, until what is revealed are their own faces, hovering where their older, wiser friends had been that day, imprinting the letters, the numbers, and giving them their first push down that road in a storm of rice and flowers. Just Married, a poem by Peter Schmidt from Country Airport, published by Copper Beach Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. Throughout the month of April, their favorite poem project, Florida, invites Floridians to submit their favorite poem. Florida-based listeners can submit their nominations at poetryfoundation.org/favoritepoemflorida. And by Progressive Insurance, with its Apron Project, celebrating progress and the people who make it happen. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, keep in touch.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout, and today is Thursday, April 16th. Because we like to keep it real, we like to keep it fresh, we've decided to mix up Arts Up. Nancy DeCherney, the one, the only. She's in here, and it's only 34 past the hour.
And we have to hurry really fast. Okay. So let's just talk about the important things.
Okay.
We only talk about the important things.
So what are you doing this weekend?
I'm going to the Lyric Opera Gala. How about you?
Oh, really?
Yes. It's a wine tasting.
Oh, please.
And other things. Okay, so tonight, right now, downstairs, and you're going to talk to these guys in a few minutes, Ed Littlefield and Christian Fabian are here, and they're doing many things. For us, they're also doing a native jazz workshop Friday night and Saturday morning. We only have 15 slots for this. It's $50. Amazing opportunity. So please call over to the Jack at 586-2787. Get on the list.
It's only $50.
It's only $50.
Yeah.
And these people are amazing, and you're going to learn all kinds of stuff. So we don't have time to talk about it anymore. So there's a Seas Sailor Talk tonight on safety and seamanship at 6 p.m. at Northwind. There is on Friday night a couple of sort of interesting things to do. You could go to the first annual Southeast Alaska Cannabis Festival, which is a lot of music at the Jack, or you could go over to the JLO Spring Gala and have wine tasting and opera.
Pick your poison.
Okay, then. I know where I'm going. Theater at Latitude 58 is presenting The Tempest all weekend, and I think they did a really good job with Anna Green Gables. We've got The Sneeze, you mentioned that already, on Friday night, and let's see, on Saturday there's a Walk for Autism at the Nugget Mall, there's Scouting for Food, there is there's a mother-daughter tea party, you've got The Tempest is got a matinee. Ricky Tagaban is teaching a Raven's Tale workshop. There's a Persian dinner at the Yacht Club to benefit an eighth grade travel thing for the charter school, I believe it is. And The Sneeze out at UAS, the Symphony Showcase at Northern Light. And Kari and Jason will be performing with Ed and Fabian at McGivney's. Amazing.
That's going to be really cool.
That's way past my bedtime, but we could probably make it. 10 p.m., they'll be out there. And let's see, on Sunday, again, you can see the theater at Latitude 58, Tempest. You can see the Symphony Showcase. There's folk dancing. But what you really want to do is go to the Metalis Mexican Brass. They are amazing. It's amazing. Who doesn't like brass bands to start with? And plus, they're just amazing musicians. It's lively. It's fun. They're fun guys, and I think you should go there. That's at 7 p.m. at the Juno Douglas High School Auditorium. You could also go to the Juno Cabaret. I don't know where this one is going to be. I didn't have the complete information on that one, but there is a cabaret on Sunday at 7 as well. We'll go on through Monday. There's the usual things on. Wednesday is the April Fowles Film Festival. It's the start of coming up in the following weekend, there's going to be a bunch of stuff for the Cooperative Extension on raising chickens and all sorts of stuff like that. At 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday at the Silver Bow, it is JDLT's, the Juno Douglas Little Theater's second annual Shakespeare Monologue Competition.
That's going to be pretty fun.
Shakespeare's birthday is this month, as I recall.
Oh, really?
Could be why we're doing all these things. I don't know. And then next Thursday, put on your calendar, the Improv Festival begins, but also at 3 p.m., it is the Celebration of Life for Rimenos.
Oh,
we don't want to miss that sort of thing. So did we get through it as fast as we had to?
You did so well. In fact, if people thought we went too fast, you could check it out online.
We'll speak way more slowly now. At jahc.org.
Or ktoo.org. You can check out all the community calendar.
Get your tickets. Get organized. You know, summer's coming up. You can sign up for Food Truck Fridays, be a vendor, be a performer. You can get ready for Community Day on campus. Summer's here.
Music on the fly.
Music on the fly. And that's a paying gig.
Hey.
So give me a call.
I will. I'm looking for some more work. Thank you so much. The only Mrs. Anthony Journey.
On the phone with Alex Friend, member of the Mentalis M5 Mexican Brass. They're playing in Juneau here on Sunday, And Alex is on the line. Thank you for being on the station with me, Alex.
Yeah, it's a pleasure for me. Hello.
So how did the group get started?
Yeah, this is 10 years ago, actually. We are on our 10th anniversary tour this year. And the start was very unspectacular. Oscar and me, the other trumpet player, we were both the trumpet players. We played in the same orchestra together in Morelia, Michoacán, in Mexico. It's on the Pacific coast. And on the first day of our job, we decided to found a quintet and started playing chamber music in the afternoons. And very soon it became a very serious project. And only 2.5 years later, we started touring the United States. We got an agent in San Francisco. And yeah, the group grew and grew and grew. And now we are having our, 11th U.S. tour or so. And the first time in Alaska. Very wonderful. They're very excited.
When you specialize in chamber music, any particular composers that you gravitate to?
Yeah, there's some inclination to Bach. we like Bach very much.
What's included in a Metellus M5 performance?
Well, the original idea is that it is mainly about us having fun and really enjoying what we do. So the first thing is like we don't play music that we don't really like. We like to mix a lot of styles, so it is really absolutely unpredictable for the audience where the thread goes within the concert. So this comes from the original in Mexico, where we played very often for audiences with zero experience in chamber music or in classical music whatsoever. So we developed this this habit to mix well-known pieces with new or sophisticated virtuosic arrangements. And we use costumes, we use a light design, we play everything by memory, we have a choreography, we talk with the people. There's a lot of humor because we immensely enjoy laughing and having fun. And the shows are, even if they have a concept behind it, they are still very spontaneous because there's a lot of things that happen suddenly without being planned. And we even change the program spontaneously on stage when we feel the energy of the audience allows it or requires that.
Mm-hmm. Could you list the members of the group and their instruments they play, please?
Yes. Oscar Villegas plays trumpet. Alex Freund, that's me, I play trumpet too. Juan Carlos Quiterio plays the French horn, Jose Lopez plays the tuba, and Roberto Carlos Cruz plays the trombone.
What do you look for in selecting new pieces?
There's so much music that I think the next 80 years would not be enough to play everything we would like to, but it's usually somebody comes up with an idea, and we arrange the piece, or we ask somebody to arrange it for us, and then we start rehearsing. And I mean, for instance, that happened on the tour. Yeah? Sometimes we listen to something on the radio or in the airplane on the radio station, and then we talk about it, and immediately this desire to play this music comes up. And even within the same tour, we play the piece live in the show.
And it sounds like you have fun.
Yes, I think if you don't have fun, why would you do something? I mean, it's a very basic rule for life, and I think for art on stage, it's very necessary to always enjoy what you do.
And that is the Metellus Brass Band coming this Sunday, playing at the Juno Douglas High School Auditorium. They're going to be amazing. Definitely get your tickets for that. You can get them online at jahc.org or stopping by Hearthside. In the studio with me, I have Lindsay Hulbert here to talk about the Auk Bay Cooperative Preschool Open House this Saturday. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So the Auk Bay Cooperative Preschool, can you talk a little bit about what that is? What is a cooperative preschool?
Yeah, absolutely. So the basis of a cooperative preschool is family involvement. So we strive to include families in as many ways as possible. And one of the main ways is through work days. So each day there are two teachers in the classroom, myself and Miss Angie, who's my co-teacher. And then each day we also have two work parents, one who does the work jobs and one who also provides snack. And they stay through the day. They help with setup. They help with the activities and snack. And then at the end of the day, they help with cleanup. And then parents can also be involved by taking on a board position. We have a volunteer board each year. And then we also have family jobs, which the parents can take on for different things, helping out either in the classroom or outside, depending on what they're available to do.
And so this open house on Saturday is kind of a way for people to try it on.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're a play-based preschool, so really coming into the space and getting a feel for it is one of the best ways to realize what we can offer. We really believe that kids are just natural learners and that they can learn through playing. And so our space is built to facilitate that for the kids.
That's great. And so what will parents be, they'll have an opportunity to talk to teachers, and what else will be going on?
Yeah, we'll also have some current families who are there to offer some assistance and wisdom through their experiences. The teachers will be there, and kids are more than welcome to come and see the space. We have three separate rooms that we use. We have an art room, and we have more of what we call the quiet room with the library space. And then we also have the kids' favorite, which is the muscle room, and has room for running and jumping and climbing. And those will all be open, and the parents can come and get an idea, ask any questions. We'll have all the registration paperwork there, and people are more than welcome to, you know, come and check it out. Any kids 3 to 5 are welcome to register.
And where is the Auk Bay Cooperative Preschool?
It's in the back of Chapel by the Lake, so it's a little bit hard to find, but if you drive in like you're going to Chapel by the Lake and you go straight to the back, that's where we're located.
That's great. And is there something online that people can look at to find out more information?
Yeah, absolutely. Our website is aukbaycoop.preschool.org. And that has all of our information about our philosophy, the teachers, and all the registration paperwork is available there as well. You can always email aukbaycoop@gmail.com with any other questions, or you can call myself or at the preschool with any further questions for that.
Great. So can you give us the details, just the time and place one more time so parents can jump on that?
Yeah, that'll be this Saturday, April 18th. From 10 a.m. until noon at Chapel by the Lake in the back where our preschool, Auk Bay Co-op Preschool, is located.
Lindsay Hulbert, thank you so much for coming to talk to us about the Cooperative Preschool Open House, where parents can find out more about.
Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout. Today is Thursday, April 16th, and it's 48 minutes past the hour. Today is one of the days where I absolutely love my job, because in the studio with me, I have Mr. Ed Littlefield.
Hello.
And hello.
Hello.
And Christian Fabian here. And
hello.
Guys, hi. These guys have been, blessing us with their music for many years. And tonight is no different, as well as this weekend, as they're performing tonight as part of the Native Jazz Concert here at KTO Studios. Hi, guys.
Well, hello.
So what's the deal tonight?
Well, tonight is the Alaska Originals, KTO Alaska Originals And it's going to be the Native Jazz Duo, which is a smaller group of the Native Jazz Quartet. And so Christian and I kind of do other smaller gigs like this. But it features Alaska Native music and Christian's music from where he came from, Swedish German melodies, and melodies from around the world. And, yeah, we're just sharing some music as a duo. So drums and bass.
Oh, great. And what time will that be?
7 p.m. tonight in the new Arts 360.
At 360.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Beautiful
studio.
Space.
Isn't it great?
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I imagine their recording and everything will be played back and everything, so.
Yeah, I think what they said is that they're going to record a segment tonight so you can be a part of a live TV broadcast, which will go around the state for a number of months.
Sounds great. So you guys are always busy doing a multitude of things. I see your names everywhere in some form or fashion. And you're also doing a really cool workshop. Christian, you want to tell us about this kind of awesome opportunity for people?
Yeah, we're doing a workshop and working together with Jack and putting up a workshop, which is Friday 5 to 7 p.m. and Saturday 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And it's I think you can register at the JAG for the workshop. And it's a jazz workshop, and we kind of also want to promote a little bit our Native Jazz workshop we're doing in Sitka. We are in our fourth year, and it's very successful. And we're covering all aspects of, you know, composing, arranging, soloing, improvising. We did, like I said, a bunch of these workshops, and there's a lot of cool information if people really want to know more about jazz. How does it work? How do you solo? What do you do? And how do you compose? I mean, if you have all these questions, you would be a great candidate to come to this workshop.
And who is it kind of geared towards? Players? Just kind of anybody? Or how does that work?
Well, one actually, if we're talking the Native Jazz Workshop in Sitka, one year, my mom went, who is not really a musician at all, but she wanted to write her own songs. That's purely what it was. And so she had some words and lyrics. So she came in and we helped her create her own song. We mostly do jazz focus, but we can help you with songwriting. And a lot of that comes from ear training and jazz theory, mostly just music theory. So all ages, really, you should be able to play your instrument at a certain level. So we like to say sixth grade and up. And we had a couple 50, 60-year-old people, you know, so it's all adults as well. Anybody's welcome, as well as this camp here on tomorrow afternoon and Saturday morning. So.
And, you know, guys, I have to say, it's a screaming deal.
Yeah, like, right?
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, because there is, you know, you guys come with a wealth of knowledge that that to share it is really a great thing for a community. So I would encourage anybody who is, you know, who's kind of on the fence, let this tip you over, because it's just an amazing opportunity for people.
And if we say, I mean, tonight or tomorrow night and Saturday morning, it's just going to be Christian and I, and that is a good deal too, because you get, I've taken lessons all over the world, and they usually cost $150 for an hour. So if you want to hang out with some people that do this for a living for 6 hours, I think it's $50. So come on down. And then if you go to the workshop, I think it's around $750 for the camp in Sitka, but it's a 5-day intensive, so you get 8 hours a day roughly. And if you get the package, you get the meals and room and board.
Yeah,
so
it's a great
deal. It's a great deal. And we also have two other faculty coming in, three other faculty. Dennis Yeary, who's a great Native American flute and piano player, and he plays jazz. He does exactly what we do. We got Ruel Lubog on piano, who's toured all over the world with Tommy Dorsey, all the big bands. And then we have Jason Marsalis, who is, as some of you might know, a name in the jazz world and music community. So if you want to study with those guys and myself and Christian, it's an amazing opportunity. So,
when does that Sitka gig start?
July 12th to the 19th. So it includes a concert, and we, you know, might do a recording. I mean, it's like the great thing about this week, we share everything we know, and we know actually, some great musicians from Juneau went for our very first Native Jazz workshop. And it's like the amount of information, it's just unbelievable what people get in 1 week. You know, we had actually, from last year, we already had three people sign up again for this year. People come back for seconds and thirds, which is pretty awesome.
but just get there for the firsts.
That's right. So what comes next for you guys? Because there's a little time between now and Sitka, and I'm just wondering what's on your plate, Ed?
For me, I'm based out of Seattle, so I go back there, and I've got some playing. I was just telling Christian I'm booked for the next week and a half. It's great. Every night in Seattle, which doesn't happen very often, with, just small groups and big bands.
That's great.
And then theater shows. And then in May, Christian and I are doing a workshop in Oregon together and just some random stuff until, the normal grind as a freelance musician in Seattle.
Christian, where's your base?
Yeah, same, New York City. So I have, a bunch of gigs in Manhattan and New Jersey, tri-state area, and working there with my teacher and mentor, Mike Longo, great piano player who played many, many years with Dizzy Gillespie. So I work with him quite a bit. But again, just like add some workshop stuff, and then we're looking forward to go out to Portland in May. Actually, the guy who's putting it together, yeah, Grant Linzel, is actually here judging bands for the Music Fest.
At Music Fest, we were...
Yeah, he's amazing. He's really, really cool and very involved in music. And we look forward to that in May.
How did you guys make a connection? Where did that start?
A long time ago. I saw Christian, we met at the, long time ago, 15 years ago or so, at the University of Idaho, where he was playing bass in the Lionel Hampton Orchestra. And we kind of met then, and then he came up to do a Sitka Jazz Festival concert in 2007.
Yeah, very
and
good.
And thank you. And then that summer, the director of the camp there said, Christian, you want to teach at the camp? And so we've been working at the Sitka Fine Arts Camp for the last 8 years or so, and about 5-6 years ago, we started this project of the Native Jazz Quartet.
So I was lucky enough to catch the Native Jazz Quartet last time you all came through, and I just was completely blown away. My whole world was changed, and I don't say that lightly, because that doesn't happen very often. My world is pretty narrow. But I'm just wondering, what's up with you guys next? Are you touring, or what's up next for you guys?
Well, I mean, beyond Sitka, I go to Germany in September working for a company. I endorse bass guitars and some other things, going for like a 2.5-week tour. Work with some local musicians from over there. And for me personally, I'm glad I'm not traveling that much right now, because I'm studying with an amazing bass player in New York by the name of Ron Carter, who played with the Miles Davis Quintet. And so right now I'm dedicating myself back to the practice room for the remaining of the year. So I really learned some cool things.
You still practice?
I do.
Okay. Good job.
I have to.
The quartet is actually, now that you mentioned that, playing a gig in a show in Seattle on Sunday. So we're actually playing a show at McGivney's until 1 o'clock a.m. with Kari and Jason Caputo. And then we leave in the 7:15 flight and then head all the way down and do a show in Seattle with the whole quartet, though, which is a great event if anyone is traveling to Seattle on Sunday. It would be great to see the whole quartet. But then we're always thinking about doing more projects. So this summer we're going to do the Native Jazz Workshop, and that usually turns into another CD project. Which then makes us do more touring. So
yeah,
it's usually every other year we're trying to get a CD out.
That's awesome.
Definitely. Yeah.
That's totally awesome. Can people look on Facebook or something online where they can find...
We've got a Facebook site.
Yeah.
Native Jazz Quartet on Facebook.
Cool.
Come
like us. And Saturday night, they can check you out, the two of you. They
the
can
wrist
check
rockets.
You out with the Wrist Rockets on Saturday at McGivney's. Mm-hmm. Imagine you'll start around 10-ish. And then tonight, you also have another show here at 7 at studio. So you guys pack it in.
Lots of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Christian, Fabian, and Ed Littlefield, thank you so much for coming to talk with us in the studio. And please, Juno, if you get out, see these guys, because you will, your mind will be blown. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Shona.
Thank you.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout. Tomorrow, Andy Klein hosts Juno Afternoon. Definitely give that a listen here, starting at 3 p.m. He'll talk a lot with Maria Lovacek and Forrest Wagner. Thank you.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We also rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K210AM in Gustavus, K220